woman wanna let my hair down. One Friday, he let his hair down on Calvary for me. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Let your hair down for the Lord. He has already let his hair down for you, to the point of permitting thorns and blood to be mingled with his hair. That Friday, when he let his hair down for you.
We know that the Word of God has blessed you richly as you have listened to this Word in power and excellence. Listen each Sunday at the same time or visit us at 416 DeSoto Street for regular scheduled services, Sunday school starting at 9:45 a.m., Sunday morning worship beginning at 11 o'clock a.m., Wednesdays, 7 o'clock p.m., or phone us at 318-253-6232 or 318-264-0301 or on the World Wide Web at pdusk3@aol.com. And remember, there is always room at the cross for you. Now there is power.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
I don't fret because he'll see about me.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 N.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
It's Family Day, Saturday, May 17th, at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. Reverend Joseph Garner Sr., pastor, and congregation are counting the days to this momentous occasion as they welcome Stellar and Grammy Award winners, the renowned gospel quartet singers, Harvey Watkins, and the Canton Spirituals of Canton, Mississippi.
I'm starting my life over again.
Come from a poor family. We didn't have much, but the Lord been good to me.
Live in a soul-stirring concert, singing the old songs of Zion. It's going to be a foot-stomping, toe-tapping, and hand-clapping time at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. So get your praise shoes ready and come ready to praise like never before. If you haven't ever experienced a concert with the Canton Spirituals, you've missed a little bit of heaven on earth. Come, be blessed and uplifted in the Lord. Concert will be held at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, 1210 N.W. Harrison, Saturday, May 17th, 7 p.m. Tickets are a donation of $20. Tickets available in Leesville at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, 337-238-1779. In Alexandria at 88.1 FM, 318-484-2500. In Manny, Louisiana at the Dewdrop Inn Barbecue, 318-256-0400. And in Lake Charles at Tammy Creations, 337-494-1592.
You're going to win, but you got to lose everything you sow.
To the book of Matthew, chapter 26, and we're going to look at just one verse, verse 26, Matthew 26 and 26. And I want to say this to our radio audience. We're geared up and we're getting ready for our annual Family Day weekend. And we hope that all of you who hear us, amen, from Alexandria to Monroe to Natchez, Mississippi to Shreveport, Louisiana, would make your way, amen, to Leesville on May 17th as we will be hosting the Canton Spirituals. 7 o'clock p.m. on that night. Tickets are available, and you can call the church to get ticket information. You will want to be a part of that wonderful, wonderful program as we celebrate the family. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26, there you will find these words. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Amen. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. I want to talk for just a few moments this morning from the subject, seated at the table. Amen. Seated at the table. Thank you, ushers. One of the things that every child of God needs to know about Jesus is that he will never instruct us to do something that he has not done himself. Whatever he allows us to go through, it has purpose attached to it. You're not just going through to be going through. Amen. There is a providential purpose and reason that he allows us to go through certain circumstances. And although our natural tendency is to resist the process, we have to admit that going through produces character, it produces strength, and it produces wisdom. Amen. When you begin to consider your relationship with God and all that you've gone through already, you have to conclude that God has given you the grace to get through it. Is there anybody here today who's happy and who's blessed enough to say that God has given you the grace to go through all that you have gone through? And I need to tell you today that whether or not you know it, you're sitting next to somebody who already understands what it means when we talk about the grace to get through some stuff. Do I have a witness today? There's somebody next to you who is fully aware of the supernatural strength to get through what your natural strength cannot. Somebody today, you are on the other side of something that you've gone through. And when you look back, you have to declare that it was God who gave you the grace to get through it. Come on, how many of you were in some stuff that you didn't think you could make it through? Amen. How many of you have been in some situations and have had to deal with some circumstances, have been in the middle of some storms that while you were in the middle of it, you thought you might lose your mind. You thought you might throw in the towel. You thought you might give up the ship. Amen. But now that you've gone through it, you can look back on it and say, after all that I've been through, I still have joy. After all that I've been through, I still have a praise. Somebody's going through right now a sweltering situation, a tumultuous trial in your life, but yet God is keeping you in your right mind by giving you the grace to get through. Somebody's on the verge of going through a circumstance and you have anxiety in your spirit as to how it will work out. But God brought you to Pleasant Hill today and he has set you next to somebody who has gone through it already to let you know that God will give you the grace to get through. Is there anybody here who's cognizant of God's amazing grace?
That's why the songwriter got excited when he thought about all that God had brought him through, when he thought about the sin and the shame that God had delivered him from, and he couldn't help himself. He started writing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." I wish the true believers would give him worship, would give him praise for his amazing grace. In this one verse that we have before us this morning, Jesus is sitting at the Last Supper with his disciples. This moment is important because it is a moment of preparation. Tell your neighbor he's getting them ready for something. Amen. He's preparing his disciples for the imminent suffering that he has to go through. Amen. He's getting them ready. Amen. And you Bible readers know that the suffering that he is about to go through is significant to our salvation. For if it had not been for the blood of Jesus, we really don't talk about the blood enough. Amen. But I've discovered in my own life that if you want to put the enemy on the run, remind him about the blood. There was a time when church folk used to plead the blood over stuff. Amen. When you get sickness in your body and trouble in your home, you could find some saintly, godly person in your neighborhood who knew enough about the blood that they would come in your house and say, "I plead the blood of Jesus." Is there anybody who knows that there's power? Wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus is sitting at the Last Supper with his disciples, and you need to understand that he's preparing them for what he's about to go through. Amen. Jesus was going through this to symbolize the painful experience that he had to endure in order to fulfill the assignment that he had been given by his Father. My brothers and sisters, you need to know that in order for you to fulfill the assignment that God has for you, please understand that there are some things that you must go through in order to have the capacity and the wherewithal to fulfill your God-given assignment. What he's saying, Pastor, I'm saying that some of us, amen, even though God has a prescribed destiny for us, many of us cannot fulfill or reach our destiny because we ain't ready yet. And so what God will do is he will allow us to go through some stuff to get us ready for our destiny. He will allow us to go through some pain, go through some heartache, go through some trouble, be lied on and talked about, so that when we get in the place he's called us to be, we'll be ready. Is there anybody who wants to be ready for your assignment? Because in order to get to, tell your neighbor, you've got to go through. Oh, I like it, I like it, I like it. Because Jesus, he shared this last meal, watch this, with those he knew. That's why I titled this message, "Seated at the Table." Because, see, a lot of folk, amen, get excited when they have money in the bank. A lot of folk get excited, amen, when all of their bills are paid, and thank God he will do that, amen. But some folk miss out on the fact that you ought to be excited just because he made provision for you to sit at the table. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm at the table. And what we discover today is that Jesus gives us a revelation that God gave him the strength to get through it. And many of you are going to see today the grace that God has given to you to go through whatever trials you're going to face in life. But ultimately, you will see that God has given you the grace to fulfill your destiny. Many of you are going to see today that some of the circumstances that you're dealing with, you're going to see the grace that has been endowed upon you, but you have to understand the principles. Tell your neighbor the principles. The context. You need to understand the context of this. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Jesus sat with his disciples that night. I think it's important because when you look at it, it really is about being positioned at the table. The first thing you have to understand is that Jesus is sitting at the table with his disciples. These were the men that he single-handedly picked out. These were the men that he chose for the purposes of kingdom advancement. The idea of the table is significant because it points to genuine and authentic relationship. Tell your neighbor, you got to have a relationship. You ain't seated at the table if you don't have a relationship. Amen. One reason some of us are not at the table is because we don't have a relationship. Relationship is important. Jesus called those who were in relationship with him. When you begin to look at the different narratives of the Lord's Supper in all of the Gospels, you find out that they are all about covenant relationship because it is a shared meal. Those at the Lord's table represent those who were in close relationship with him. These were his boys, amen? The 12 were those who continuously followed him, who shared intimate spaces with him when others were not allowed. Those who were at the table were able now to receive what he was about to share with them regarding revelation knowledge regarding his impending death because they had a relationship. Do you know that you can have religion and no relationship? You want to find somebody that's confused, that's twisted, amen, that really ain't going to heaven, amen. They know all of the formalities of religion. They know when to lift their hands. They know when to say amen. They know when to stand, when to sit, when to smile, when to clap, amen. They know all of the formalities of religion, but I've come by to tell you today that religion without relationship, that ain't no good. Tell your neighbor, you got to have a relationship with him. Sometimes people get confused. They confuse religion with relationship. You can have good religion and bad relationship. Good religion can mess you up if you have bad relationship because you will speak in tongues in here and won't speak to your brother or sister on the parking lot. Tell your neighbor, I need a relationship. I need a relationship. Amen. I want this thing to be real. I want it to be authentic. And guess what? That's why the Lord says he's looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth, because there are some folk who can sit right in the presence of God, sing praises to God, lift hands to God, go through all of the motions of worship, and yet hate somebody right in their midst. How many of you know you can fool us, but you can't fool God? Come on, where are the folk who really know that? Yeah, yeah. You can fool pastor, but you can't fool God. Oh my, I'm going to get in trouble now. Amen, amen. You can fool deacon so-and-so and sister so-and-so, but you can't fool God. He knows the secrets of your heart. He knows your imaginations. He knows the thoughts that you have. Amen. That's why even in our praying, we got to be careful. Sometimes we get mad at somebody and we'll pray on them. Lord, get him. Lord, amen. Let him fall and slip and break his leg, God, not to hurt him, just to help him, amen. That's why you got to even be careful who you share some testimonies with. Because there are some folk who wish calamity on you. There are some folk who wish you were sick. There are some folk who rejoice in your trouble. Amen. But thanks be to God that if you're at the table, say, tell your neighbor, I'm glad I'm at the table. I'm at the table. I'm at the table because I have a relationship with him. And I need to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that you cannot get revelation without relationship. See, the disciples were privy to some stuff that no one else was privy to because they were at the table. And they were privy to this stuff because they had a relationship. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I can't make it from day to day without God revealing some stuff to me. See, can I be honest with you? I ain't all that smart. to where I know everything. I'm not all that smart to where I have all of the answers to all of the questions. There are some things that I need God to reveal in my life. And I've come by to tell you, he's not going to reveal to you unless you have a relationship. You got to have a relationship. Oh my, you got to have a relationship. And what I love about this text, amen, is that if you are in a relationship with God, you don't have any doubts about whether or not he loves you. Some other folk may not like you, but you can rejoice knowing what? He loves me. Come on, anybody in here knows that the Lord loves you today? I thank you, God. I know. And the litmus test is that you understand that God's love is central to the relationship. When you're content with knowing God loves you, if nobody else loves me, I know God loves me. The Bible says he commended his love towards me in that while I was yet a sinner, he died for the ungodly. Somebody ought to give him praise today. Oh man, I know. Anybody know he loves you? I know he loves. Can I tell you, there are times I get in the mirror and I look at myself and I don't even love myself. But I can rejoice because I know that God loves me. Do I have a witness today? I know he loves me. Every time I inhale and exhale, that's an expression of his love. Every time I wake up in my right mind, that's an expression of his love. Every time I sit down at the dinner table and there's food prepared for me to eat, that's an expression of his love. Every time I go to my closet and there are clothes that I can put on my back, that's an expression of his love. Every time I can open my eyes and see or put one foot in front of the other and I can walk, that's an expression of his. Is there anybody who's glad to know that he loves you? I'm glad he loves me. You got to have relationship if you want the revelation. Now look at this text again. Look at it. There are four things you will notice. It says about the bread, it says he took it, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. Now, y'all, that was illustrative of what he was going to have to go through, that his body would be broken, that his blood would be shed. But I told you at the start of this message that God never requires of us anything that he's not willing to do himself. And so when he sat at the Lord's Supper table with the disciples, he not only revealed to them what he had to go through, but in a real sense, he reveals to us what we've got to go through. He took it. Can I tell you something? Not everybody in ministry went out there because they wanted to. Oh my. Not every preacher that's preaching, amen, is preaching because they had just a fervent desire to preach. Not everybody on the deacon board is a deacon because, amen, they just felt, amen, you know, it's something fun to do. It's something. And some of us, God had to take us. Not everybody in the choir. Come on. Y'all ain't been saved always. Some of us can remember a time when we were not in the church, when praising God was the last thing on our mind. But every now and then, God has to take you out of something to bring you into what he wants you to do. Is there anybody here today who can testify that he'll take you? Well, if I can't get any witnesses here, how many of you remember Abram in the Bible? Abram was minding his own business. But God showed up at Abram's doorstep one day, and the Bible says, just go. Where am I going, God? Don't worry about where you're going. Just go to a place I will show you. The Lord took Abram. How many of you remember Saul in the Bible? The Bible says Saul went about persecuting the church. He was enjoying himself, persecuting Christians. But one day on the road to Damascus, the Bible says God showed up in a bright light and took him off of his horse and said, you're going to work for me now. How many of you remember Jonah in the Bible? Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh, but God said, it ain't about what you want.
It's about what is there anybody here today who can testify God took you out of darkness and put you in the marvelous light? He took you out of the nightclub, put you in the church house. He took you off the dice table, sat you down at the Lord's supper table.
He will take you. But not only will he take you, amen, amen, amen. The next thing is, it says, and he blessed it. Now see, I shouldn't have to pump you up right here to get any witnesses to testify that he'll bless you. I just need you to begin to think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you. Is there anybody here that can testify that God might take you, but he'll turn around and bless you? Is there anybody here today who can say, I'm blessed to be in the house of God? I'm blessed to be in the service of God. But don't get too happy now, because after he took it, after he blessed it, the Bible says he turned around and broke it. And I'm a witness that every now and then we can get too high on our pedestals. We can get too caught up in ourselves. And God has a way, I said he has a way, of breaking you. Is there anybody here who has ever been broken? But the good news is, he did not break me to destroy me. He did not break you to forsake you. But the last thing he does, after he took it, after he blessed it, after he broke it, he gave it. And can I tell you something? You can't be of use to God unless he takes you. You can't be of service to God unless he blesses you. You can't be of any good to God unless he, amen, breaks you. But after all of that, he will give you. Is there anybody here that's glad to be on the Lord's side? I'm glad that he called me out of darkness into the marvelous light. I'm glad that he picked me up. He turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. Where are my witnesses at? Where are my praises at? You ought to stand on your feet and thank the Lord that he's using you. Thank the Lord that he's using you. He could have used anybody else, but he looked beyond my faults and he saw my needs. Now what am I gonna do? I'm gonna give him praise. I'm gonna tell him thank you. I'm gonna worship his name.
Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise in this place. I'm so happy just to be seated at the table. Amen. Remain standing. Remain standing. I'm so happy to be in a relationship with my God. Amen. I'm so happy that because of my relationship, amen, he's revealing some things to me. But ultimately, the good news of the hour is that the Lord can use you. Amen. If you'll let him, he wants to use you. I know you may think your life is so sinful. You may think that you've got so much to get straight. My brother, my sister, I challenge you right now to just put yourself. Watch this. Because even though he took the bread, even though he blessed the bread, even though he broke the bread, even while he was breaking it, it was still in his hands. Is there anybody here who knows that God will break us every now and then, but he'll keep you in the hollow of his hands? You're here today, sinner man, sinner woman, sinner boy, sinner girl. We offer Christ to you right now. You ought to move from where you are to where God wants you to be. If you're here as I minister,
it's Family Day, Saturday, May 17th, at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. Reverend Joseph Garner Sr., pastor, and congregation are counting the days